Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine BP. Call Dr. Morse right now. Most
720 WGN. It's the Steve Cochran Show. Justin Kaufman stepping up for Steve today. He is sick. He's probably already called Doc Most. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better healthcare starts here. Doc Most, today we talk something about what is considered to be. It's interesting to me because we never really think about it as a medical epidemic because it plays in so many different areas. But we're talking about workplace violence. This is something, of course, that we just saw play out in Aurora last week. But this is something that the medical community is very aware of and very concerned about.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we see the whole spectrum of this, all the way from what can we do to prevent it, and what can we do to treat individuals who are injured at the workplace, and then what can we do to treat what we call the second victim. So the OSHA reportable injuries, in other words, injuries that you receive at work, are very wide and very, I mean, we have them all the time. But unfortunately, now we're seeing these outbursts of violence, which is showing us what's going on in the workplace can be deadly.
Yeah, but you never. It's so interesting, Doc, because I just and I'm pretty aware, and I read up on a bunch of stuff, but I would never put workplace violence up in the top five occupational hazards. It's just something that I think is always on the outside. It's on the outskirts of what other things that might be hurting people in the workplace.
It is, Justin, and that's the sad part about it, I think. If you look, Leo, in 2017, over 5,000 people died in the workplace. Wow. Now, a lot of those were due to auto accidents, construction injuries, falls. But, you know, unfortunately, once you get past some of those bigger ones, you're getting to this place of workplace violence where it's really being, it's very difficult. And it's hard because it's a place that you should feel safe. And we should make sure that you are in a safe environment when you go to work.
Now, it's the fourth leading cause of occupational injuries in the U.S., but it's the number one cause for the death of women in the workplace.
Yep. Which kind of really, it's unfortunate. You know, that's the one that kind of scares you and hits home. We try to, like I said, keep people safe. But when you look at the number one cause of women death in a workplace, it's not because of highway accidents. It's not because of falls. It's not because of being struck by an object. It's because of violence. And we saw that in, you know, at Mercy Hospital. We've seen that in many different places, unfortunately.
Doc, is there any statistics on if the workplace violence is always an employee or a former employee, or like when you said at Mercy Hospital, that was a ex-fiance?
Domestic situation, yeah.
Yeah. That's the other thing, Mary, is this is just like the tip of the iceberg, because when we talk about workplace violence, we're talking about individuals who are injured at the workplace where they were working. Unfortunately, a lot of other individuals have been injured as well. Customers, vendors, people who are just happen to be passing by when these workplace violence events occur. So although we know the numbers for those who are injured at work, it's actually just the tip of the iceberg, because there's more secondary injuries from other people who were there, either caught in crossfire, were there independently for as a customer, or were in the workplace for some other reason.
Doc, I always think about this. You know, when you think about if it's a measles outbreak, there'll be a lot of conversation about vaccines. If it's any other sort of virus, there might be talk about prevention, wash your hands, things of that nature. When it comes to workplace violence, what are the suggestions from the medical community when it comes to prevention?
Yeah. When we look at, there's the whole big spectrum of that as well. I'll give you an example here. In the healthcare field, when we look at workplace injuries, what are we concerned about? We're concerned about back injuries and needle sticks. You know, those are the common things that we are going to see here. But what we're also trying to do now is teach employees about those extremes. You know, we talk to them about, you know, active shooter. We do active shooter training here in the hospital for all our employees so that they know what to do. That's the portion of it, is know what to do. And then the other portion of it that we need to really get across to people is how do we identify somebody before they get to a point of being violent in the workplace?
And how do you?
Yeah. You know what? If you remember how we've talked about people with depression and people that are suicidal, a lot of those things are what the things that we're going to look for. you know, that person who comes into work and is usually in a very happy mood and now all of a sudden seems to be withdrawn and seems to be a little angry. Those are the ones that you're concerned about, saying, wait a second, what's changed here with them? And then there's that starts something. You know, you start to see maybe an emotional injury that occurred. Might have been something that happened at home that has aggravated him, and now he's bringing that to the workplace. Those are the ones that are very concerning because we don't know what's going on at home. But from the medical profession, this is where we need people in the workplace to start to identify some of those things. Passive-aggressive actions, you know, something as simple as complaining to a coworker and then waiting for that coworker to either agree, yeah, you know, administration's terrible, or yes, they should have changed that a long time ago. Often that is throwing kerosene on the fire in the hope that it goes out. But I think people are often very uncomfortable standing up to someone who says something controversial. Mm-hmm. It's easier to agree with them.
So where does this conversation go? And when we're talking about some of the solutions, does it have to be administered or led by the government, OSHA, and those kind of components? Or is it led by the medical community?
I think it's led by the... I personally think it's led by the companies themselves with the help of the medical community. You can only put, you know, metal detectors in so many different places. But look at what we've done now for safety going into sporting events and going into places where we're checking everybody because of this, which is unfortunate, but it's for the safety of you and safety of everyone else. So workplaces need to be aware of that as well. But the health field cannot go into every workplace and say, this is what we should do. So it's our point, the medical side should be going to companies and say, this is what we need to teach your people to look out for. And when they do that, tell the people in HR so that the people in HR can reach out to those individuals and bring in professionals to help them.
All of Doc Most's words and all of the prep that we have for this segment is posted online at WGNRadio.com. It'll be up today. And Doc Most joins us every Monday to talk about these issues. Thanks, Doc. Appreciate it.
You got it. Take care, you guys.